We're talking with Chandler Gould with National Farmers Union. Chandler, let's talk about several things. You were talking trade on the podium this morning from the podium. Let's talk about that. Also, some of these farm bill issues too. But you brought up the failure and the view of NFU of being able to protect cool. Where do you see the debate going? Will there be a successful voluntary cool put in place, you think?
Well, we are currently working on some type of voluntary program. And as I mentioned, you know, find me one single consumer that says, I want to know less about my food. Don't tell me where it came from. I don't want to know any of the ingredients. So the movement for cool is not dead. It's just that having a mandatory cool is not WTO compliant. So there will be work done with the USDA to put something in place that maintains that integrity of that born, raised, and harvested or slaughtered here in the U.S., but it will have to be on a voluntary basis. There's plenty of support out there, but I'm not sure exactly what the timeline is going to look like, but it'll have to be done most likely in this administration.
Let's talk about you were bringing up, and obviously TPP concerns that NFU has regarding Trans-Pacific Partnership. It does appear that the administration, they're not really all that excited or all that interested in rushing it to Congress.
Well, they're not, but because they don't have enough votes in the House. You know, if they had signed the agreement and knew they could get it past the House and Senate immediately, they would already be down there. But once the president officially sends it to the House and the Senate, this clock starts ticking of how many days they have until they can vote on it.
Right.
And right now, they do not have the votes for sure in the House of Representatives. I think there will be a significant debate in the Senate, but the Senate will most likely pass it, similar to what they did on Trade Promotion Authority. But the votes are not there in the House, and one of the key reasons is lack of currency manipulation and how to effectively deal with that when we have three of the most biggest countries known for currency manipulation, Japan, South Korea, and Malaysia, all involved in the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Do you see some positives with TPP, or is it just overall just too burdensome?
You know, overall, every one of these trade agreements has continued to push the trade deficit for the United States deeper and deeper and increasing that drag on our economy. Until the trade representatives of the United States start developing these trade agreements with an objective of getting us out of a trade deficit and making sure that we are improving the welfare, production, and economies in both countries, not just trying to race to the bottom and export more, I don't see these free trade agreements benefiting family farmers and ranchers in the long run. As I mentioned in my speech, we have 19 free trade agreements right now. So if market access equaled higher commodity prices, why are we seeing low cotton, low soy, low corn, and low beef prices right now? That shows you that the framework of these free trade agreements does not work.
Does NFU have any conversations with the USTR on the, I guess, on the beef side of things? The cattle industry really pointing to TPP in regards to the trade or the tariff differential between what Australia's got available to them right now and U.S. producers. Are you trying, although since you're not a fan of TPP, are you looking at maybe trying to address that specific bilateral deal?
Well, you know, we're looking at a couple things. In TPP and Japan being the major market that beef was pursuing, many people don't know that Japan, only with the United States, mind you, there were 11 other countries involved in this, that if the Japan government determined that imports started to negatively affect their domestic production, their domestic prices, they could do what's called a snapback provision and immediately go back to the 38% tariff on all beef. Well, the United States didn't get that on any of our sensitive commodities. We didn't get that on sugar. We didn't get that on dairy. Australia didn't get it on theirs. And so though they may have a bilateral agreement with Japan that's at a lower tariff level, they are also still encompassed by this larger agreement where all of us could get hit with this 38% tariff agreement. And then if that snapback provision is invoked, it'll take over 30 years to get that tariff back down to where TPP currently has it. That's simply just not fair. I mean, so there again, we're looking at a government that not only will manipulate its currency, but at the stroke of a pen is going to put this tariff back on us as soon as this agreement is ratified, is my hypothesis.
Let's talk crop insurance. continual battle. I mean, we've got got groups like the Environmental Working Group and others that are just really, really targeting this it's our biggest pot of money, really, within farm programs now, and that's been a concern.
Let me tell you something about the Environmental Working Group, and since we're on the radio, I'll try to be nice. The Environmental Working Group absolutely wants to do away with every farm program that we have, and they've clearly, no one in that organization, maybe their parents aren't alive, I don't know, but my parents remember being rationed. My grandparents told me stories of growing up between World War I and World War II and there not being enough food and things along those lines growing up through the 30s. They want to get rid of every safety net, whether it's a risk management tool or a farm safety net, so that they can drive the cost of food up so high that we not only end animal food production, but that we're going to make it where food is completely unaffordable in this country. And they are attacking, as you said, our largest pot of money, which is crop insurance. And the only entity large enough to underwrite crop insurance for family farmers and ranchers, not just crop insurance, but livestock insurance and revenue, is the federal government. No bank can do it. No one else can underwrite that kind of risk. And agriculture, unlike opening your own business, has systemic risks that we cannot control. And you're very aware of them. Weather, disease outbreak, these free trade agreements that keep allowing things like citrus greening, citrus canker. We've got avian influenza running around. No bank wants to take that on. And so if EWG is successful, you can also blame them for higher food prices. We have built a very strong coalition in Washington, D.C. to fight the president's budget, to fight the budget coming out of the House. We were successful last year, and I'm hoping that we will be just as successful this year because, as you mentioned, crop insurance is our main safety net tool next to ARC and PLC.
Are you pleased with how Risk RMA has handled oversight of crop insurance? It seems like we've continually been able to expand the offering, expand it into specialty crops, all these things. Seems like we've met some of the tests of the farm bill and some of the concerns that have been out there regarding crop insurance.
Oh, you're exactly right. Matter of fact, just this week we expanded crop insurance to organic producers, which have never had the opportunity to participate in the program. We've not only expanded it to fruits and vegetables, but now we're also doing nuts and along, things along those lines. So we've taken a program that it was predominantly just for row crop growers. We've expanded it to revenue programs. We've expanded it to livestock programs. We've expanded it to fruits and vegetables. And now we've expanded it to organics. And so it has met the test of time. We're covering more producers. We are reducing the risk to family farmers and ranchers, regardless of their production systems. And this is a program that works, and people need to leave it alone and stop attacking it. The U.S. agriculture budget is 1% of the entire budget for the United States. There are many other areas that we could go look for money in order to fund desired projects.
Your thoughts, your kind of maybe a grade, if you want to give it that, on Title I, on how PLC ARC seems to be shaping up, or is it too early still?
Well, PLC has worked just like it should. I mean, it is a reference price program. When the price of your commodity falls below that, the difference is made up by the government. That is what National Farmers Union supported. We have plenty of room within our amber box limits at the WTO to operate that program. So I would give that program an A. I would give ARC a B minus or a C plus. ARC was put in there specifically to get the free trading senators and congressmen to vote for the farm bill. And we have got multiple counties where one county is being paid out and one county is not. And to my knowledge, I know there's at least two states, there may be a third, that have already sued the USDA over ARC's inability to fairly be implemented across just one single state. So we should have taken all that money we dumped into ARC, put it all into PLC, dealt with the amber box and the WTO, and I think we would have had a perfect farm bill, or at least a perfect Title I.
Regarding 2016, year divisible by four, presidential election year, everybody in the House, of course, up for re-election, or most are, unless they haven't drawn an opponent, obviously. Senate, how important is this year for rural America and for future of agricultural related type programs being able to continue to be maintained at least?
If I could say just one thing to your listeners, I don't care if you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, or if you're an independent. You need to go. It's very simple to look up the voting record and see how your member of Congress or your senators voted on the 2014 Farm Bill. And if they voted against you, you need to look at their opponent and tell them, if you do not support rural America and agriculture, we're not putting you back into office. Unfortunately, I was just trying to look up what happened in Oklahoma. I'm going to have to jump south of the border, so please don't be upset with me because I'm from Texas. But both Texas senators voted against the Farm Bill. Just like Oklahoma, Texas has got a huge agriculture industry. And as we heard from some of the speakers here at the convention, if we as the voters do not start electing people who are going to represent rural America and support agriculture, then we are to blame for what is happening to us. And so if you need help, I'm sure you can call Oklahoma Farmers Union. They can find someone to help you. There will be a voting record coming out from National Farmers Union in September for all congressmen and all senators on these issues, letting you know who voted where on certain issues that we think affect rural America to help you in those decisions.
Finally, your convention coming up real quick in Minneapolis this year. You indicated that there's going to be a series of farm safety videos that NFU is going to be releasing at that time. Tell me about those.
So we were very fortunate, and there's a very long list of grantors that I would need to thank, but the biggest one was CHS, and the rest of them are credited on the videos, so if I left someone off. We are releasing 10 different videos, one just on general farm safety, one on electrical shock and what to do in your farm, livestock handling, PTO, rollover safety, chemical handling, and several others, and children, ATVs. So all of these will be released at our annual convention March 5th through 8th in Minneapolis. Registration is still available and open at nfu.org. I encourage you to come. And once we've released them at convention, they will be up on our website, free for download. They're anywhere from 3.5 to 4.5 minutes long. And I highly encourage, especially beginning farmers, but you know what? Some of us who have been farming for 30 and 40 years, it wouldn't hurt you to watch one of these videos again because this is one of the things we talk about. You kind of get in your routine and you get used to this is how we do it. And a little refresher here and there is good. It's safe for you. It's safe for your family. And it's just a good reminder.